Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
It's Garbled Twistery. And we have recently begun our usual posturing for the good old 1808 election, and we're taking a gander at the candidates for glorified sidekick of the country. Fun times. But enough dilly-dallying. It's time to get a good look at vice principal candidate number 2, Henry Dearborn, a.k.a. Mr. Moose Baby. Okay, so the Moose Baby was born in only the newest Hampshire, and his dad was Simon Belmont, and his mom was Sarah Paulson, and his ancestor was some lame-o named Godfrey. I know, what a name. But anyways, I can tell you that Henry's story is super unique already, simply because this guy went to public school. Yeah, I said it. No private tutors teaching him how to speak pig Latin. No, sir. Public school. And you know what else? He was also one of those big-shot protein bar-eating wrestler kids. You know who I'm talking about, Donkey Konga. But I mean, he was a smarty pants too. Like, he was out here studying how to use herbal essences with an actual doctor. And our boy Henry eventually got his own doctor's office. Good for him. And he ended up putting a ring on 3 people. Some lady named Mary, some lady named Sarah, and some lady named Dorcas. Yeah, you heard me. Dorcas. But anyways, Henry ain't got the time to be giving people checkups, okay? There's a whole revolution going on. Get this man a gun. And boy, did they. This dude was so good at the gun stuff that they made him a lute-playing popcorn colonel. And after that, they even made him the master of all the quarters. He was hanging out with Jorge Washington. So yeah, he was doing all sorts of important business in the Great American Temper Tantrum. Like, he took all his stuff to the Battle of Big Bunk Bed, and while everyone was still in their pajamas, they apparently did a bang-up job. But I mean, not everything he did was super successful. Like, he was there when Eggs Benedict Arnold Cumberpatch foolishly tried to bum-rush Canada, and even they, like, lost pretty hard, and he ended up in Canada boat jail from the whole ordeal. It was on the way there that Henry Bambi the Dearborn met Aaron the Ice Cream Man Cold Man Burr. But I mean, the trip was terrible. Like, he got a fever, and he had to stay in crummy little cottage and everything. Hold on, I have his journal right here. Quote, "Operation Bum Rush Canada is a complete failure. We literally ate all the trail mix we had, so now we can't even go home or to Niagara Falls without resorting to cannibalism, so like, we have to surrender. This is some trash right here." Unquote. But yeah, he was a captive of the tea house for almost a freaking year before they coughed him back up. So yeah, he got yet another step closer to being the Supreme because of his riveting tap solo at the Battle of Marie Kondo in Minnesota. Yeah, they made him a major, and they sent him to do more war stuff back in New Hampshire, and he once again showed up to take names. This time at Sarah's toga party. Even Hamlet's friend Horatio was all like, wow, this guy knows his way around a war. But like, this isn't even all of it. Remember that Valley Forge thing where everybody ran out of trail mix and it was getting real bad and they were super cold and stuff? Henry was there too. Even towards the tail end part of the war, Henry was at some small strip mall in New Jersey, and there was this battle, and it was right in the man's mouth. But he totally did more war stuff, even after the tea sippers and the New England Patriots were done shooting each other. He, like, got sent to the middle of nowhere in New York to, like, go mess up the Iroquois Nation and the Loyalists that they teamed up with, and boy, did they get messed up. After that, he went to Connecticut for a bit, then to that final battle in Virginia, where he was there to see General Cornball surrender. So yeah, the war is finally over, so they finally let Henry stop running around shooting people, and they let him hang out in Maine with a cute little militia to run. He ended up in the Maine House of Reps, and get this, he joined that weird cult-like Society of Cincinnati. But anyways, I bet you're wondering how he was there for basically every major Revolutionary War thing that happened in the Revolutionary War. Welp, it's all in his journal. He wrote it all down. It's a primary source. Nice play, Henry. So later on, this war guy became a Bridget Jones general for Massachusetts and once again became a major. And for Maine, he was like the very first martial law. And then when the tit-for-tat politics started happening, he chose to be a Democrat Republican. So you can bet your bottom that the second Tommy J finally won the National Beauty Pageant Popularity Contest, he was like, quote, Henry, you're gonna be my secretary, my war secretary for war stuff, unquote. And he would do that for a long while. But yeah, he did help Tommy figure out what they were going to do with all these leftover army people by coming up with the whole West Point idea. Henry even got one of his buddies to be a geeky math professor at the Point of the West Academy. He even helped scout out the dude who would be the superintendent of West Point. So yeah, in 1801 and 1802, Henry and Tommy were homies. Like, they talked about national security matters over French toast Sunday brunch and stuff. But yeah, he helped talk policy on the Native Americans too, which was at its most basic level, quote, take the land and draw a line in the sand, unquote. Oh, and when Aaron was planning to make his own country like a madman, Henry got a freaking letter from James Wilkinson that was all like, quote, please, go attack Florida and start a war with Spain. I promise you, it's a good move. Trust me, unquote. Luckily, Henry wasn't a freaking idiot and sent out some intern soldiers to scope the whole sitch out. But the thing is, Henry ordered Mr. Wilkinson to take some of his troopies to the Florida border anyways. You know, just in case. But then, this guy, James Wilkinson, started requesting more troops from Henry, and Henry was straight up like, quote, you're asking for too much, and you're shadier than a mobster doing a deal under a palm tree. Unquote. And then Henry straight up warned a top general who seemed to be in cahoots with Aaron, and like right after that, boom, treason charges for the ice cream man. And I know we did talk about this whole situation in the 1807 episode, but it's always interesting to know who was where doing what when it happened, you feel me? But yeah, I can see why a handful of people thought this dude was vice principal material. I mean, he was there for everything that wasn't on the legislative side of things. Ground zero, kabooma booma, war. So yeah, I get it. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, 525,600 minutes, you can find Garble Twitch 3 on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwitch3.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwitch3.net. Also, I have a Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com, find Garble Twistery, and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but you'll gain the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. I know, exciting. There are more details about how this works on the Patreon page, but wait, there's more! If you become a patron of $5 or more, you'll get full access to an entire Patreon-exclusive season titled Garble Twistery, A Second Look. These episodes will primarily be remakes of my earlier, sloppier episodes, along with many entirely new episodes to tag along. And now, per tradition, a little snippet from the upcoming Spider-Man bonus episode.
Spider-Man.
He straight up kills Aunt Em and even other superhero people, and he literally ends up taking over the whole world for a hot second. So yeah, James Potter is a bad influence, okay? What does James Potter have to do with Spider-Man, you ask? You can find out as a patron. Anyways, next time it's going to be a rebroadcast because we got to check in with the rather uneventful Federalist side of the aisle and their VP candidate, Rufus King. Get hype.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
You're gonna be my secretary, my war secretary for war stuff.